Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to Three Guys Theologizing, where three friends, I like to consider you friends, I don't know if they consider me friends, but three friends get together and we talk and we discuss ideas, theologize. And today, Kyle Borg and I, Scott Hunt, have the great privilege and pleasure to really just sit and interview the third member of this podcast, Barry York. And it's not just Barry York. It is the esteemed Right Reverend Dr. Barry York that we are going to talk to today. I don't know if I got all his titles right. No,
professor and president. And, you know, just real quick for the listeners that are tuning in, they're students of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I think, Scott, maybe you missed it, but did Barry say that he was offering extra credit to anybody who listened to this interview with him?
I heard that.
Okay, all right.
We discussed that before we started, so... Yeah.
That's right.
I think there will be extra credit to you students.
As but long as I get to apply it, that's fine.
We joke a lot here on 3GT, but it is kind of an honor to sit and talk to a president. Barry York has been president of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary for 1 year now. When is your anniversary date, Barry?
July 1st.
July 1st. So,
for the record, that is also my anniversary date here in Winchester, although July 1st will be 6 years. So, Barry, we share an anniversary date.
Oh, that's nice.
And just a shout out to my wife, July 3rd, which is two short days after your anniversary date. It's our anniversary, and we are celebrating 20 years. Believe that 20 years of marital bliss with my beautiful, wonderful wife, Allison?
I was there.
You were there. You helped form that union, and so I appreciate that.
But since we're sharing anniversaries, a day after that, July 4th is Independence Day, and we will be celebrating 243 years as a kind of, boy. July is a big month of anniversaries.
Some of them are more important than others, and I think one of the really important ones that we would like to talk about, not July 4th, not necessarily July 3rd, though I love you, sweetheart. It's not July 3rd. It's July 1st. That's the one we're focusing on, 2018, that being the time that Barry was inaugurated as president of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And we would just like to take an opportunity, Barry, Kyle and I would, to just know how your year has gone. Get your thoughts and your perspectives on how this first year has been the president and not just the professor. How's that been treating you?
Well, by God's grace, it's gone well. I have enjoyed the challenge of it, and it is a challenge. There's a lot of different things that we face as a seminary. But there's been a lot of joys in the midst of meeting those challenges. I'm just so grateful for the team that we have at RPTS. It's just a fun place to work, and I have a lot of men and women who serve there that have the same vision and have a real commitment to the seminary and are servant-hearted, so they make the task quite a... I wouldn't say an easy one, but at least a joyful one in serving. One of the first things that I did when I became president was we had a basketball goal installed in the parking lot. Part of it was to encourage students to get some exercise besides just studying. And maybe we've joked about this on the podcast before.
So I wish we had the episode number, because you did note in the fall that you had accomplished your first major milestone as president. You had gotten the basketball hoop installed. So
I love basketball, but part of it also was an analogy that basketball is a team sport and there's a good team there. And I've likened becoming the president to being asked on a team to shoot a little bit more. And I was always glad to do that. So I'm having to do more than I once did, but it's something I share with a lot of other people. And so that's made it a great, it's not only, it's the administration, it's my fellow faculty members. I have a great board that supports the seminary and me as an individual very well. So I'm very thankful for the team that I serve with there.
So Barry, if I can just insert a question, not to hijack here, Scott, since you're taking the lead, but Scott and I sometimes tease you about this, but we are very thankful for you, RPTS, the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, for any listeners that don't know, is the denominational seminary of the RPCNA. And so ordinarily we require every man who will be serving as a pastor in our denomination to spend some time there. And so that's a very significant institution to our denomination. And of course, it's leadership, it's faithfulness, it's continuing to train students is extremely important to us as a denomination. And so it's not a little thing to be president there, and we are thankful for you. But just out of curiosity, what's a day look like for you? What are some of the new roles, responsibilities that you took on when you became president, as maybe opposed to when you were the homiletics or practical theology professor?
Well, I am still teaching quite a bit. I did reduce how much I teach by a class each quarter, but I still am teaching. So I do have a lot of significant involvement in the classroom. And being the homiletics prof, I do interact personally with the students in my class and helping their sermon development. So that does take up a lot of my time. But you also are the one that's called upon to meet the potential students visiting the seminary. So I spend a lot of time doing that, or those who are supporters or donors to the seminary, whether they stop by or we arrange a lunch or a visit to someone. So I spend a good deal of time doing that. There's a lot of communication that takes place, a constant communication with both the staff as we're tweaking this policy or working on this administrative problem. There's a lot of interaction with people wanting to know questions about the seminary, what's going on at RPTS. I get a lot of pastors calling me or search committees calling me asking about or emailing me asking about a student. So one of the things I enjoy is interacting with local congregations as they're thinking about needs. We just had a congregation out near you, Kyle, that was wanting a pastoral intern for the summer. And as we were thinking and praying about it together, it ended up a young man who's interested in missions was available. And this particular congregation has a real interest in missions, particularly in a Middle Eastern country. And so, an Asian country. But anyway, just seeing that work out and praying for it is a joyful part of the work, just working with local congregations. I really view RPTS, it's not only just a denominational seminary, but it's here to serve the local church. And so anytime that we're able to encourage local congregations, that's a real highlight for me.
What are some of the greatest joys that you've had in this first year? I know that there are likely trying times that you've had, difficulties, but can you just share with us some of the things that have made you say, you know, this is really worth it?
Well, watching students develop and then seeing them go and pass presbytery exams or get a call to a local church, that's one of the most exciting things about it. Or this year I have a small discipleship class that I teach, or actually it's more of a practicum I teach. It's not really a class, but a time together with five men. And as I was sitting there with these men, I realized that none of them would be serving in North America after they graduate, that they were all slotted to go to foreign countries to serve the Lord. Some of them are from those countries. One person in particular was not. And just to pray with them and watch them thinking about how they're taking what they're learning at RPTS and how that will translate into their culture was fascinating. Talking about that, praying about that. So that's really one of the great joys is seeing the Lord develop students. You know, a lot of guys will come into seminary and they were like me. They think they know everything. And then you get to seminary and you see God humbling them. But at the same time, he's humbling them. He's developing their abilities, whether it's in preaching or counseling or articulating theology. And so that's one of the great joys of serving at the seminary. I would say another highlight, of course, being the president, all of a sudden you have to start being concerned about finances. And at the end of our last year, 2018, I was concerned we might have a fiscal crisis my first year. And the Lord brought in some incredible gifts, one from someone we didn't even know had put us in their will. And it ended up being a very significant gift. And just to see how the Lord supplies our needs, it really causes you to trust in him to meet the needs that are there and taking care of the professors and staff and the facilities and all of that. Just seeing the Lord's provision is a joy as well.
If my children were listening to this episode, they would be disappointed that in naming the greatest joys, you did not note that you get to go to work every single day in a mansion. And so I tried to explain this to them, that the seminary is an old mansion, and their eyes got as big as silver dollars, and they thought that was the coolest thing they'd ever heard. So,
well, it is a cool place to work. We call it Rutherford Hall, but originally it was the home of a man named Durbin Horn, who was in the Horn department store business and a millionaire. And so the home was built in 1898. Our seminary took possession in 1922, started classes the following year. And because it's a home, a fancy home, it's also a wonderful place to learn. There's just something about the setting. You're almost taking a step back in time, which I think of theology, that we're the great traditions of the faith that have been handed down from generation to generation. We're learning of those and studying in the Rutherford Hall, and this old mansion's a fun part of the job. And one of the things that we've been working toward is restoring the home and seeing new gables go up on the outside, or working at redeveloping our library in order to open up new study spaces and restore some of our rooms to their period decor. That's fun to do as well. So the students are enjoying the extra space and the nicer surroundings, and we're able to do that as God's people give and help us along those lines.
And I think it's a good time to make the announcement that starting the fall of 2019, all professors will be wearing powdered wigs. to really give the feel of the old. Right. That's good to hear. Scott, if you don't mind, can I interject another question?
Hey, this is, I just started off. I thought this would be you and I going at this.
Oh, okay, good.
Together. So we're tag teaming him. I'm not leaving.
Tag me in. There we go. All right. So, Barry, one of the things that I think has to be a burden on your heart, not to get all morbid here, but you look at the history of seminaries, especially in North America, and rarely do they survive two generations. You know, you think of Princeton, and Princeton was once one of, if not the most glorious educational institution in North America, and how far they have fallen in abandoning not only their history and their heritage, but biblical Christianity. Do you, as a president, do you feel that weight? How do you respond to that? What do you do in very sober?
Well, yes, certainly you do feel that weight. You feel a tremendous amount of responsibility that when your time is done there, that you hand it off to the next generation, maintaining faithfulness, doctrinal integrity, high moral character, those types of things. That's what we want the seminary to be known for. I think the way to manage that is that you've got to maintain a dependency on Christ. You just got to walk with Christ each and every day and We really try to emphasize at RPTS that we're not just an academic institution, but that we're there to learn our theology, but not only just learn it in our heads, but practice it. And so we really do emphasize a lot of practical theology. We have people, we have a counseling center, and our students are trained to counsel. We teach them to preach, but not just talk about it in the classroom. We have them preaching. We get them out preaching in churches and teen challenge chapels and rescue missions. We want them out preaching so that they're interacting with real people. We encourage people to walk with the Lord. So our classes, almost all of them, if not all of them, begin in prayer. My classes, I start with a little devotion, just time in God's Word. Even if I'm teaching the whole class in God's Word, I still want us to be looking to the Lord for our strength and our wisdom. So I think those are the practical things we can do at the ground level at RPTS. Thankfully, we've been in existence for over 2 centuries, 209 years. And I believe one of the reasons why the Lord has preserved us, or how the means he's chosen to use, is the fact that we are a part of a denomination that takes watching over the seminary very seriously. So our denomination has to elect our board members. And so those are a mixture of pastors and ruling elders. And so we have people in the church that are watching over us. We also have our professors, and myself as president have to be elected by our synod. And so I think that those are some of the safeguards. We just had synod here recently, and we wanted to make some changes to our constitution. And these weren't secret changes where we were trying to, you know, do something fancy. It was more to bring up to date some of the aspects of our constitution. Actually, as a president, to allow me to delegate a little bit more, so things didn't fall on me, and also to involve the faculty a little bit more in some of the decisions that are taking place. But in order for us to do that, we had to have the synod review those changes. They could ask questions, and then they ultimately voted on them. So I really believe having the eyes of the whole church on the seminary is one of the ways that the Lord uses to preserve it. And I'm thankful for that.
You know, and Kyle kind of touched on this, different seminaries throughout history, or you know, the past couple hundred years have fallen away. So clearly there's challenges that you are faced with probably on a day-to-day basis, but what are some of the challenges you see in the next 12 months, the next year of your tenure as president that you know, one, we can be praying for, but also that we can roll our sleeves up and help you out with? What are some of the things that you're looking at that you're confronting even now that you see will go on for the next year or beyond?
Well, three immediately come to mind. The first one is transitions. We are going through so many transitions at RPTS. You have a new president wet behind the ears. We just brought in a young man as our biblical counseling professor. Here in just as this episode goes out, we'll bring on another new professor, David Whitla, in church history. And again, at our synod a few weeks ago, when this goes out, we voted for a New Testament professor who will take up his responsibilities, Jeff Stuyvesant, next year. Well, all of those faculty changes are a challenge. In the midst of all this, my executive assistant, who served very faithfully for 6 years, took another position, so we're replacing her. Our librarian, who's been there, it'll be a quarter of a century that Tom Reed will have been there, is retiring next year. And so we're working with a young man who's studying to become his replacement. So that would be one of the big things I would really ask a prayer for, is to pray for us as we go through these transitions, that God would allow that to be as smooth as possible. I think another real challenge for us is what really all seminaries are facing. There is a decreasing number of students, people who are interested in theological education. And at the same time, there is a rise in the number of ways that people are seeking to be educated for pastoral ministry or missionary service. There's really an explosion of non-accredited institutes and theological halls that are popping up, and many of them are great places to learn from good and godly people offering these types of classes. And it just presents at times a real difficulty, because with that plus the online education, almost every one of our students now wants a self-programmed course of study where they take components of a class they've taken here and an online thing they've done there, and they're wanting to bring that into the seminary. And so we've had to really evaluate that and try to come up with policies that help us to maintain our own accreditation and that are also equitable both to the student, potential student, as well as to our staff and to our faculty who are trying to manage all that. So that's just the changes in education. It always feels like the ground is shifting underneath your feet and you're trying to evaluate how to best approach those things. And then I would say just one other thing, and it kind of ties into this one, but it's there's just a lack of pastors. We really need pastors. I'm speaking right now of our own denomination. There are a number of pulpits that are not filled. There are church planting opportunities available, associate pastorates available. Our missions are expanding and there aren't enough laborers to go out. And so if I could appeal to anything, to you men as elders in your church, to all those who are listening, to really pray and ask God to raise up other laborers, to let me know there's some young man I need to be talking to, whatever it is that we can do to really stir up and ask the Spirit of God to raise up a generation of those who would go and do pastoral ministry, church planting ministry, missionary service.
Well, I think that's very helpful. Thank you, Barry, for sharing that with us. Any closing comments you want to make in relation to your first year as president?
Well, one last thing, if you don't mind me just touching on, and it goes back to the local church. I was a church planter. I was a pastor in a church for 22 years, and I'm constantly pushing my students back to the local church, making them think about the local church. And at the seminary, that's where my heart is. And we're doing some things at RPTS to try to help if we can. We have a section called Applied Theology for the Church, a series of courses that might be encouraging to local congregations. We're offering a pastoral refreshment program that you could find information about on our website. So our real heart is with the local church. And one of the things I do love, even though it presents a challenge with online education, is that when you have students who are still in their congregations across the nation or even in other nations studying with you at RPTS, and then they're telling their pastors and elders what they're learning, I always love hearing what people are thinking about the seminary. I love the fact that it helps us to feel more connected to the local church. And I think that's to our benefit, to our health at RPTS. And we hope it will be to the local church as well. So that's just one last thing I would like to add.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing. All joking and kidding aside, it is so good to know that the Lord has raised you up, Barry, to do this work. I think from my perspective, you're doing a fantastic job as president out there at the seminary. I appreciate you. You're with us every time, but I appreciate you being willing to discuss these things with us and with our listeners and share with them how the Lord is using the seminary for his kingdom.
Well, you're very kind, and I appreciate you men as well and your support. It means a lot. It really does.
I did vote for you, Barry, and I would do so again, and someday I will call to have that favor returned. So, but we do thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Head over to our website, 3gt.xyz, Head over to iTunes, subscribe to us. And until next time, be sure to actually go to our website, where I do believe President York's tax returns will be made public. And so until next time, go ahead, take a look at those, and we'll see you all later.